So tonight's evening encouragement talk will be given by Dharma teacher Leslie Gaiduco.
Thank you for that introduction, Diane. And good evening. Welcome to the last night of Sesshin. Today was the day, what I used to call the day of lasts. So, almost every Sesshin that I've attended out of state, there was always someone to say on the last day, stop, don't pack yet, in your mind, don't even get ready. But, you know, being a newbie, I was still doing that. I was still planning things out, going, this is our last lunch, and this is the last time I'll have to do this, or making little rituals of the lasts. So I always call this day the day of lasts, after 11 o'clock. But now for me, it's a little bittersweet knowing that, you know, it might be the last time I'm going to hear Diane give a talk, or the last time I'm going to hear these beautiful robins singing. The last time I'm going to wake and have tea with all of you first thing in the morning, peacefully, quietly. Last time I'm going to see my teacher's feet bowing before me in Kenton. Last time I'll have Oryoki with you folks, or we'll sing sutras, chant sutras. So there's some, for me, there's the good, yay, it's the day of last, and then there's the sadness of it being the day of last. So I'm really glad this morning it came up, this, what I call the moments about tenderness. Feeling tender at Sesshin. So I'm calling tonight's talk Tenderness Take Two with Tayshaun, because he's going to come up again. So I love what Fran said last night about how we pretty much spend a lifetime building ourselves to be who we are through identity. A wife, a mother, a teacher, a partner. And then we come to this practice, and it's confusing. And after so many days, you feel weird and discouraged and maybe even disappointed. Say, well, what is this all about? I don't get it. And even frustrating, saying, how come I don't get it? Everybody else seems to be getting it, but I don't get it. And that's all a part of it. That's a big part of it, probably. I mean, I'm guessing. I spent many hours in Sangha with large groups at Sesshin, really believing I was the only one who didn't get what was going on. And I just, things that were comforting me would just follow the bell. Just follow the bell. You know, that's all I need to do is just follow the bell. It can be scary, because what's most likely happening is the layers are coming off. You're peeling. And when you start getting to the heart of the matter and finding out that things might be different for you, it can be pretty scary saying, if I'm not who I am or who I thought I am, then who am I? So let me tell you a little bit more about Tayshaun, at least what I remember and what I know of him. So I was asked earlier today, what's my favorite koan? And obviously I've picked Tayshaun, at least for this session. So I'm not really sure where things are at about redemption within our practice. But I know I have this huge, I guess, I'm drawn to stories where people find themselves. My absolute favorite Christmas story is A Christmas Carol with Scrooge. I mean, I cry every time. The next morning when he wakes up and he says, you know, I don't deserve to be this happy. It just brings such a joy to my heart. And yeah, he went through hell to get there the night before. And I know for me, and it's not all, you know, like, it just didn't happen once. It happens to me constantly, the deconstructing of who I am and the self or myself. And most of the times for me, it's out of adversity. I've gone through something pretty tough. And then, you know, it's not like in a koan, bam, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, everything's great. But it during those dark, dark times is where it's really, really deep and intense. So for Tayshaun, when he was younger, he was quite, well, I've been told he was quite arrogant. And nobody could really tell him anything. And so he went, he was a great scholar of the Diamond Sutra. And this koan's called the Old Woman's Rice Cakes. So he wasn't a Zen practitioner, a Chan practitioner. He was a scholar. He studied the sutra, Diamond Sutra. He was kind of an expert. And he was traveling south in search of the Dharma. So I question kind of even that. If he's a scholar, why is he searching the Dharma? So maybe he's more than a scholar, right? He's carrying his commentaries on the Diamond Sutra with him. And in the course of his travels, he came across an old woman on the roadside. Now here we go, another woman, right? Seems to come down to that, doesn't it? And she was selling tea and rice cakes. He asked her, who are you? And I'm guessing from Tayshaun, it wasn't just a simple, who are you? I think it was like, who are you? She responded, I'm an old woman selling rice cakes. When he asked if he could buy some refreshments from her, she inquired, venerable priest. So again, scholar and now priest. I guess labels, right? Venerable priest. What are you carrying in your bag? He said, I'm a scholar of the Diamond Sutra, and here I have all my notes and commentaries. So, I mean, maybe the assumption was that, why would she even be asking about this, right? She's just an old woman on the side of the road selling rice cakes. Hearing this, the old woman said, I have heard that according to the Diamond Sutra, here we go, past mind is ungraspable, present mind is ungraspable, and future mind is ungraspable. So where is the mind that you wish to refresh with rice cakes, O scholar? If you can answer this, you may buy a rice cake from me. If not, you'll have to go elsewhere for refreshment. Tayshaun was unable to reply. He was speechless. Certainly not expecting this old woman's own rice cakes to best him, so to speak. He didn't have an answer for her. The old woman then directed him to a Chan master nearby. Taking down a couple notches, maybe. Tayshaun burned all his notes and commentaries the next day. That was putting it quite simply. You know, as if he all of a sudden now has just turned a 180 and now is no longer a scholar. He's burned all his life's work, basically, and now he's going to be a practitioner. But there's more to it. So, case 28 from the Gateless Barrier. The case. Tayshaun visited Lung Tang. And my guess is this is the Chan master that he was referred to, maybe? and questioned him sincerely far into the night. It grew late. And is it Lung Tan?
Lung Tan.
Lung Tan. Mm-hmm. And Lung Tan said, "Why don't you retire?" Taishan made his bows and lifted the blinds to withdraw, but was met by darkness. Turning back, he said, "It's dark outside." Now, I think more about that now, about the darkness, saying, okay, what the mind cannot know, the heart is speaking, is that darkness. It's dark outside. I can't go, he says. Lung Tan lit a paper candle and handed it to Taishan. Taishan was about to take it when Lung Tan blew it out. Like a teacher, right? Here, let me help you. Well, maybe not. Oh, let me help you. Oh, no. Yep, no. Yep, no. Taishan had sudden realization and made bows. That's not lucky, you know? Teacher basically just dropped him right there. Threw him under the bus, but he had sudden realization. That's how it always works, I guess. Lung Tan said, "What truth did you discern?" So it wasn't enough that he had sudden realization. So we're going to find out a little bit more. Taishan said, "From now on, I will not doubt the words of an old priest who is renowned everywhere under the sun." So it sounds like he's taking it in now. He's at least receiving, right? Sound familiar with our insentient beings hearing the Dharma or speaking the Dharma? So he's at least receiving words and letting it in from others. The next day, Lung Tan took the high seat before his assembly and said, "I see a brave fellow among you monks. His fangs are like a sword tree. His mouth is like a blood bowl. Give him a blow and he won't turn his head. Someday he will climb the highest peak and establish our way here." So that reminds me a little bit about the woman you were talking about earlier today. But she had 6 arms and 3 heads, and she was doing it all, right? So Lung Tan obviously feels that Taishan is on to something. He's made a turn. He's not there yet, but he's made a turn. Taishan brought his notes on the Diamond Sutra before the Diamond Hall and held up a torch. So there was more to the first story, right? Saying, "Even though you have exhausted the abstruse doctrines, it is like placing a hair in vast space. Even though you have learned all the secrets of the world, it is like letting a single drop of water fall into an enormous valley." And he burned up all his notes, and then, making his bows, he took his leave of his teacher. So, while some people might be doubting and saying, you know, "I've been doing this for days on end. It feels like everything's aching. My heart, too, is aching." Just know that probably if your world is being rocked right now, you're well on your way. It's like another koan in Mu, they talk about swallowing a fireball. And no, I don't mean a shot of whiskey. I mean swallowing, taking in a fireball, and you can't spit it out, and you can't swallow it, right? So once you get started on this Zen thing and this studying the way, studying yourself to forget yourself, for some, there's no turning back. Once those layers start coming off, you're in good hands with Sangha. Take care.